Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Melanie C. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, June 2nd, 2015. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 86, paragraph 2. And today's readers are the 12 Steps of OA, Mary B., the 12 Traditions, Donna M., reading the text this morning, Susie K., Renata G., and Devorah S. The reference number for yesterday, Monday, June 1st, 2015, is 7697, 7697. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Mary B. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, Melanie. This is Mary B. in Central California. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for the opportunity to be of service.
Thank you, Mary B. I will now ask Donna M. to read the 12 traditions.
Thank you. Hi, this is Donna M., a compulsive overeater. Is the 12 traditions. Number 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group should never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group should be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for the opportunity to be of service.
Thank you, Donna M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speaker's, should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 86, starting with paragraph 2, and I will ask Susie K. to begin our study this morning. Good morning, Susie K.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
I can. Hi.
Okay. Okay. Let's see. My name is Susie K. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive eater in Maine. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving toward all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? Or were we thinking of what we could do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life? But we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, for that would diminish our usefulness to others. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. So this is one of those key paragraphs that is very specifically giving us instructions about how to do this work. This is step 11, and it's telling us what we need to ask ourselves at night, and what we need to answer to, the communication that we need to have with our higher power. And so this is what I do every night. And let's see, I have a sample of how I answer those questions from one of the last couple nights. So, was I resentful? No. Was I selfish? No. Was I dishonest? No. Was I afraid? No. Do I owe an apology? No. Have I kept something to myself which should be discussed with another person at once? No. Was I kind and loving towards all? Yes. What could I have done better? I could have started this inventory sooner. I could have spent more time with my higher power. I could have made a call to a fellow in program. I could have returned a call, and I could have called newcomers. And was I thinking of myself most of the time? No. Or was I thinking of what I could do for others, what I could pack into the mainstream of life? Yes. I wrote a letter for Kaylee about our friendship. I attended her graduation. I took photos and videos. during the graduation. I took care of my dad for 3 hours, and I am doing this inventory. So then I ask my higher power, please forgive me and communicate to me what corrective measures should be taken. And I wrote a prayer to my higher power for this. Dear higher power, thank you for all the gifts I have received today. Selflessness is awesome, and I am really enjoying it. Thank you to the writers of the Big Book, to you, my higher power, to my sponsor, to all my sponsors and fellows in program for showing me the way. I am indebted and very grateful. Thank you for letting me misfill in a way that isn't preoccupying. Thank you for the gift of presence with my parents, with Kaylee, and with others. Thank you. So that's what I wrote the other day. And that last question, I really focused more on my gratitude and what I wanted to communicate to my higher power about my gratitude for the day. But it could have been, in some other cases, on some days, it's really to ask, I'm asking God to remove my character defects, one of which is sometimes procrastinating. And as I said, what could I have done better? Started this inventory sooner, spent more time with my higher power, called fellows in program. And so I might have asked for the willingness from God to do that on the next day. You know, to ask God to remove my procrastination or whatever it might be for that day. But on this particular day, I was just feeling enormously grateful. And so that was the message that I conveyed to my higher power. And that's what I know about this paragraph. Thank you.
Thank you, Susie K. And we'll take about two people to share on this paragraph, and then we'll move on real swiftly. Who would like to share and comment on that paragraph this morning?
This is Kathy K.
Hi, Kathy K. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Melanie, for your service, and thanks, everybody, for being here. I wanted to share about this process and how I've adapted it to suit my rhythms and my needs. When it says we retire at night, we constructively review our day, I found it very difficult to do this work right before bed because by then I'm very tired. So it was suggested to me I could do it at dinner time, I could do it before dinner, and so I decided to do it either right before dinner or right after dinner, and it just made the task that much more doable and meaningful because I had energy to really review my day meaningfully. The other thing is that I like to bring this review to my morning prayer and meditation so that I know what I need to ask God for help with for the following day. It's really a very practical tool, which for quite a while I had trouble doing it consistently every day. So I now have two people who I actually send this to electronically. So I am accountable for doing it every single day. And those practical matters have really helped me to benefit from this review so that I can clean off my side of the street for today and ask for help the next morning going forward. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Kathy Kay. Would anyone else like to share on this paragraph before we move on?
Hi, I'm Margie M.
Hi, Margie. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for this meeting and the Big Book study. When I read this paragraph, I realized that the writers of the Big Book knew that I wouldn't always be able to do it perfectly because there's that sentence in there that says we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, for that would diminish our usefulness to others. And that sentence is a real safeguard for me because I have a tendency to get introspective and to be extra hard on myself. And I can be doing this step and picking at little things that really weren't important, or dwelling on things that don't need to be dwelled on, and have that tendency to drift into worry and remorse and morbid reflection. And when I do that, I'm not useful to other people, as it says here. So that sentence is a safeguard for me when I am answering these questions, and when I'm doing this portion of the 11th step, I need to be careful that I don't do those things. And the authors apparently knew that that was a possibility, or they would not have put that sentence in there. So I think it's very important for me to do it. But I also think that I need to realize that I'm not doing an intensive fourth step, you know, when I am reviewing the day, that it's a much shorter and simpler time for me than what I put into the other step. And it's very important for me. It keeps me on the beam. It keeps me on the pathway and keeps everything unclogged, so that I don't build up resentments towards any one person or institution or problem. And it's important in that it keeps me moving forward. But I just have to have that little caution about shifting into the worry, remorse, and more reflection, because my personality can do that. I can go that way and pull myself down. So it's important that I share this step with someone else, so that I have that safeguard also, and that they're able to help point out the things that are positive, that it is not just a negative thing, but that it's filled with positive remarks and comments as well. So I think it's really important for me. And I really enjoy this paragraph, and I'm glad we're studying this morning. And I really thank everyone for all the comments that they've made. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Margie M. Would anyone else like to share on this before we move on? This is last call for this one. Okay, I'll take that as a sign, and then I'll ask then Renata G., would you please read the second paragraph then on page 86 for us this morning, starting with On Awakening, Let Us Think About the 24 Hours.
Sure, Melanie, thank you. Good morning, everyone. This is Renata G., recovered compulsive overeater in New York. On Awakening, Let Us Think About the 24 Hours Ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance. For after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. And, you know, this is, I'm very glad to share on this paragraph today, because it's such a big part of my program. You know, I really follow the instructions that are in the book every morning. And it says, you know, consider our plans for the day. But before, you know, before I start thinking about my day, before my mind starts racing, I have to, you know, ask God to direct my thinking, you know. And that made me think of, you know, God is still the director, you know. If I remember correctly, you know, on step three, I admitted that God was going to be my director, and he still is the director. So, you know, every morning when I, you know, become conscious, when I open my eyes, that's the first thing I do. You know, still in bed, I ask God to direct my thinking, and you know, to divorce me from self-pity, dishonest, self-seeking, and I add fearful motives too, because that's a big one for me. And, you know, if I just get up and start making the plans for the day, you know, according to self, according to my self-will, I'll probably go into those things, you know, because that's my default mode, you know, that's my human nature, to be self, you know, in self-pity, be dishonest, you know, be a self-seeking human being. And, You know, so, like, you know, every day when I get up in the morning, I take care of my body, right? I go to the bathroom, brush my teeth, I change my clothes, I eat my breakfast. And so, you know, what step 11 does is help me take care of my mind and my spirituality. So the same effort I need to put into my physical body, I need to put into, you know, my mind and my spirituality. And for me, it's very important to have that quiet time with God in the morning. And I get up a few minutes earlier, so I have that chunk of time for God. You know, in the past, I used to do my prayers in the car and talk to God in the car on my way to the gym or whatever I was going. And, you know, I found that I needed to really separate a time for God, you know, to really focus my attention on my step 11 and not anything else. And, you know, the big book says that on awakening we do that, you know, and the way I understand that is that it's not halfway through the day, you know, and my mind is already being bombarded with, you know, news, emails, text, work, people, you know, life. And so I really, really try to make it a priority, and that's the first thing I do in the morning is my step 11. And it helps my program a ton. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Renata G. Who would like to comment on this paragraph?
Julie R.
Reva P.
Paula D.
Reva P. Okay, I have Julie R., Melissa C., Charles H., and Reva P. Let's start with those, and we'll come back to the rest. Thank you. Good morning, Julie R.
Hi, this is Julie R., recovered compulsive overeater in California. And this is one of my, well, I always say that one of my favorite paragraphs, but, you know, the first two words, on awakening, not after I've gotten up, had my coffee, planned my day, talked on the phone. It's as soon as I open my eyes, because when I would go to bed so full of binging and emotional binging and inappropriate actions, I'd wake up full of self. I mean, that's what I do. I mean, I'm Julie. I'm a human being. So as soon as I open my eyes, and before I touch my feet to the ground off the bed, I say, God, let me do your will. Let me think. Let me be. Let me do what you want. Then I go get my coffee, do my thing, and then I'll sit down and I'll do my prayer and meditation. But I have to be grounded because I'm a very selfish person by nature. I'm dishonest by nature. And I want to plan my day. I want to plan my 7 meetings I'm going to have. I'm going to plan my customer visits, my audits. But I can't do that anymore because that starts my day with Julie, not with my creator. And sometimes I'll forget in midstream. It's so funny. I'll put my foot down to get up, and then it's like, oh, shoot. And I can put my foot back on my bed because I have to humble myself because I cannot afford to have Julie be in charge all the time because it doesn't work out well. One, I'll be almost 300 pounds again. 2, I'll be living dishonestly. 3, I'll hate myself and I'll hate everyone. So this is such a great, great way of living because I get to be out of Julie. And I've learned that, you know, to start my day off with my creator is probably one of the most exciting things that I can do. It settles me. It calms me. And I have little prayers I do throughout the day. When I go through a certain hallway, one of our security doors, I say a prayer. When I'm at a stoplight, I say a prayer. Whether I need it or not, turmoil or freedom, it doesn't matter. It's like if I do that 30, 40 times a day, I'll be focused on my breath and focused on helping somebody else. So this is something on awakening, and I have to remember that. It's not after I do what I want to do on awakening. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie R. Melissa C., you're next.
Hi, good morning. This is Melissa C., a recovered compulsive overeater in New York. And I just love waking up this way, this new, you know, this new way. Because, you know, I used to wake up full of self-loathing and telling God exactly what I needed God to do for me each day. You know, God, please make my clothes fit, make me be able to put the food down, make everybody do what I want, you know, on and on. And, you know, this that offered me no peace and certainly no serenity. You know, now when I wake up in the morning, it's not what God can you do for me, but what can I do? How can I help today? How can I align myself with your will? And, you know, I used to think and say that my thoughts are not my friend. My head is not, you know, I can't listen to what I'm thinking. My thoughts are not, you know, they're like my thinking is my worst enemy. And, yes, that's what my thinking was on self-will. But, you know, our brains were gifts that God-given. And so, you know, my thought, when I divorced myself from self-seeking, self-pity, self, then I can actually use my thinking as a barometer to help me. And, you know, I'm so blessed because God gives us a chance every morning that we wake up to have a do-over. And so when I get myself fine with what is God's will for me, I have a chance of being better today. I am imperfect. And, you know, I have a teenage daughter, and some mornings I catch myself saying things that are way too critical. And, you know, but thank God for this step 11, because at night I can, you know, remind myself of what it is that I could have done better. And thank you, God, this morning I had the perfect opportunity to redo something I had done bad yesterday or did imperfectly yesterday. You know, I overly criticized something my daughter put on, and that's just no way to start the day. Like, what was that about? And this morning when I got up, I got dressed, and my daughter had said something to me about what I was wearing, but she wasn't saying it meanly, you know. And I listened to what she said, and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna change, because I wasn't exactly sure what I was wearing. And, you know, it seems like something so trivial, but these were the little things that used to be like a road bump that caused me such unhappiness. And I'm so grateful to have God directing my thoughts today. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Melissa C. Charles H., you're next.
Good morning, Melody. It's Charles H. from Yonkers, New York. And, you know, I want to drill down where it says, before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, and also our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. First of all, good morning, visionaries, and good morning, everybody. There's 86,400 seconds in a day. If I think that if I think I woke up on my own power, I might as well go back to sleep because I'm dead anyway. And that's just me. I'm not talking about nobody else. And, you know, thank you, God, for waking me up. You know, I always used to say, you know, I woke up. No, I didn't wake up. God woke me up, because I was in the cousin of death, which is sleep. I was in a dead sleep, and God woke me up. So thank you, God. So, you know, first of all, I want to say that step 3, 7, and 11 is very closely connected. I mean, they may be blood relatives. Third step, you know, I made a decision. I had to think about making that decision before I made it. So I made a decision. I humbly asked him. I prayed. There we go. Some more prayer. You know, I had to think about humbly asking him. And then 11th step, you know, I want to improve that conscious contact. See, my thinking is twisted. So that's why, you know, I see here, we ask God to direct our thinking. My thinking is twisted. That means I need direction. You know, that third step is all about direction. It's starting the direction process. And in step 7, you know, I'm humbly going towards that direction, and in 11, I'm going still. I'm going there. I'm going. You know, God gave me brains, but I never used it in a thoughtful way. I was just so evil. And I'll give an example. I had a resentment yesterday. The day was going good. You know, good sharing, Charlie, on Vision for You. Went to the unrecorded part, did some step work with my sponsees, talked to my sponsor, saying hi to the bus driver and everybody else. But when I found out that employees were stealing at the job, I turned into that evil person again, that fearful person again. And when that employee, I did face the employee, and I let him know how displeased I was. Thank God I had a little bit of program in me, and I didn't react all the way like the monster I was before program. But it ran me around, and I got home, and you know, I had dinner, and then my night was over. When we retired, I did that quick because I was scared. I was full of fear that I was going to cause some more issues. And this morning, I ran around with it. I called the guy at work. Yo, get the tapes queued up. My axe is grinding. I'm grinding my axe. But I'm talking about it with you guys so that I could dull that axe. Because my thought is twisted. My thoughts are twisted. My thoughts are evil. You know, I got to say that I'm not well, man. I read page 552. I read 67, the sick man's prayer. I'm not a well person. You know, I don't care about the body. It's the mind. My mind is twisted every single day. And it ain't about coming up here impressing nobody. I got thoughts that are evil. So I ask God to direct my thoughts. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Charles H. Reva P., you're next.
Hi, this is Reva P., recovering compulsive overeater. I love this meeting. I love this paragraph, and I'm grateful for everybody on the line. Because I have a built-in forgetter and what I consider to be only a 24-hour battery, every morning I have the potential to either stay in recovery or go back in the disease. So I need to do this every single morning, as quickly as possible after I've gotten up. And I love what it says, you know, I awaken, I consider my day, and then before I even begin, I ask God to direct my thinking. I notice that my head is so quick and is so far into the future. The few steps from when I get out of bed till I get on my knees and do this prayer and meditation, my mind has already had a gazillion thoughts about work. It is amazing how quick and how willful, you know, I just am running out of the gate. And this sentence reminds me, wait a minute, before you start running with your thoughts, Reva, Ask God to direct my thinking, focus me, guide my thoughts, because I will go in some direction and get way caught up with my will, my motives, and my fears. So that's a great reminder for me. And also what this paragraph reminds me is, you know, after step 10, I've just entered the world of the spirit, and I have begun to be more God conscious. So once I have removed all the blocks, this gives me a way to remain in that world of the spirit, because at this point the food is down, the physical allergy is not being triggered, and it's my thinking that needs to be addressed. And every day I need to do this. Because I forget. And yeah, it is amazing how clear my mind can work when the wrong motives are out of the way. So that's all I have to share, and I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Reva P. Who else would like to comment on this paragraph this morning?
Kim?
I know
Paula D.
Oh,
Larry.
There you go. Paula D. First Kim, Paula D., then Larry. Anybody else?
Vasa O.
Hi, Vasa. Got you, too.
Sally.
And Sally. Okay, let's go with that for right now. K, Kim G, would you head us off?
Thanks, Melanie. Good morning, all. My name is Kim G, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from South Jersey. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking it to be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. So I want to talk to some people on the line maybe that are in the beginning of this process or in the food, and this just seems like a fairy tale kind of thing. And you know, I've often heard that you know, when we bring a newcomer to how it works, it's not fair because it's a kid doing adding and subtracting, and we're asking them to do algebra when we're teaching them the fifth chapter. Well, my personal belief is if somebody is in the beginning and we're telling them about step 11, that's like asking them to do astrophysics. You know, so for those of you who are in the beginning, you know, really treat this as a big show-and-tell operation. This is what is possible. Because often I think we say, well, put the food down. Okay, well, now I'm going to do 86 to 88 because that's where the recovery is. Well, if that was possible, believe me, I would have done it. If I could put down the food and then suddenly do pages 86 to 88, it would be a two-step program. It'd be put down the food, connect with God. But my problem is I'm blocked, and I need the steps in between. I need to come to the conclusion I'm powerless, come to the conclusion I need a power. I need to make a decision, and I need to do the skill set of 4 through 9 in order to have these pages have depth and weight. So what did we learn? Why are we asking God to divorce us from self-pity? In step 4, we have a resentment list. We're writing down why we're angry, the cause of that anger, and how it affected us. So we look at page 67. It says, though we did not like their symptoms, which is why the cause, and how they disturbed us, which was the effect, they, like ourselves, were sick too, and it's telling us, save us from being angry. So by doing this four-step process, what we're learning is it's not really what people are doing that is causing all this anger and resentment in us. It's how we're reacting to it. It's our anger. It's our response to these other people. And in the fourth column, we find out where our response is causing this problem. Our response is we're selfish, we're dishonest, we're self-seeking, and we're frightened. So now that we know that, because we've had that skill set of 4 through 9, what I'm doing now in step 11 is saying, okay, God, instead of praying for circumstances, instead of praying for getting my way, instead of praying that people just get the heck out of my way so I can live a good day today, what I'm going to ask God for is to divorce me. And what's divorce? Divorce is being separated from something we used to love. And I learned that in 4 through 9. I loved my self-pity. I loved my dishonesty. Because I could feel right and I could feel justified. And now I'm asking God proactively, please separate me from those things that cause me the pain in my life. It's the anger and resentment that is causing my pain. So once more, treat this as a show-and-tell operation if you're not here. But this, what this paragraph or this sentence is saying to me is before I begin, I can proactively ask God into my life and ask him to direct my thinking, which is my problem, and to be divorced from those things that I learned in 4 through 9 that causes my pain, and that is my self-pity, my dishonesty, and my self-seeking motives. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Kim G. Paula D.
Thank you. And thank you for your service today, Melanie, on this fine Tuesday. And this would be Paula D. I am a compulsive overeater recovered today by and with the grace of God. You know, it seems strange that we just finished reading. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and we inquire what corrective measures should be taken. So last night I asked God's forgiveness and it was granted. And then I asked what corrective measures should be taken. So you think my day would just start off beautifully, wouldn't you? But my mind, this is why I needed further directions. Do you know, we see on page 133, now about health, a body badly burned by alcohol does not often recover overnight, nor do twisted thinking and depression vanish in a twinkling. We are convinced that a spiritual mode, and this is what we're going to go on with, of living is the most powerful health restorative. We who have recovered from serious drinking are miracles of mental health. This is why. This paragraph. Further directions, you need them. I need them. I'll drop the you, and I'll just put me here. Under these conditions, we can now employ. Now they can work for me. Now they can work for me on mental faculties with assurance. For after all, God gave us brains to use, so I know where I received them. I know who I received them from. I thought life will be placed. Who placed? Somebody's doing the placement here. I took me out and I put God in on a much higher plane. When our thinking, that's what got me in the trouble all the time. It was my thinking. But now the placement is different, is cleared. Finally clear. We see oftentimes they'll clear a subdivision or something, and they'll take the trees out, and then you can see the lay of the land, the lay of the land, the lay of the thoughts, the lay of the mind is cleared of wrong motives. And those I have. And by the way, I thought those motives were darn good, but they weren't right. They weren't right. So I asked God, and this is how we start here in our day. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to share. With that, I do pass.
Thank you, Paula D. Larry K.
Thanks, Melanie. Appreciate your service. Larry K., recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. So, you know, the question that I would ask is, why do I choose to ask God to direct my thinking? Because it is a choice. I mean, after all, you know, God gave us brains to use, so I make the choice to do that. And so why do I choose to ask God to direct my thinking, especially asking, you know, that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking motives? Well, I choose to do that for one reason, because it works. Because it works. And I didn't know that it worked early in this process. Years ago, you know, in program, I did not know it worked. Because, for one, and this is just my experience, I was in and out of the food. I was in and out of the substance, the heroin, if you will. So my mind wasn't clear to make any reasonable assessment on whether it worked. The other thing is, for me, you know, I dabbled in the steps. I didn't work this process precisely as laid out in the big book. I worked it like a salad bar, you know. I have a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Of course, I know what's best for me. And by the way, I know what's best for you. So I'll tell you what to work. Have a little bit of this, a little bit of that. You know, eventually, you didn't convince me. You tried, but you didn't convince me. The disease battered me. And then I was, you know, I had no choice at that point to either die or pick up these steps. And I did, you know, I've with this process, you know, that I do each morning, I've experienced, you know, the alternative, and that experience, you know, is a different, it's different. It used to be misery. Today it's asking God to direct my thinking. You know, it's interesting to me, Freud believed that that a belief in God was an expression of underlying neurosis, psychological neurosis, distress. See, I don't agree with that assessment. I don't agree with it based on my experience. And I can't prove to you that you're when you pray and you ask God to direct you, the God of your understanding to direct your thinking, I can't no more prove that you're praying to you know, some power outside of yourself or the wall. I can't prove that, but I don't need to prove it. I just know it works for me, so I'm going to continue to do it. It's my belief based on experience. With that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Larry K. Vasa, you're next.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, everyone, and I'm Vasa O., recovered compulsive overeater, calling from Foxborough, Massachusetts. Thank you, Melanie, for your service. And I do the steps the way they're laid out by the big book. For me, it was take the suggestion or die. I chose to live, not to die, gradually. But step 11, I do this on a daily basis, waking on a daily basis. Before my day starts, I humble myself on my knees and I ask God to direct my thinking, divorce me from my self-pity, dishonesty, or self-seeking motives. And I ask God to show me what is His will for me to do for today. And sometimes, I mean, I do my disciplines in the morning. I do my meetings and whatever. And, you know, clean my house and whatever, you know. And I have my own plan. And God will change that plan sometimes. And, you know, and I say, oh, well, this must be not my God's plan. Then I got to go with God's plan. There was a day last week, you know, we have a neighbor had a stroke. My husband plays golf with him, and he loves gardening. You know, we over the years, we've always shared things so with our gardens, you know. And our crops, well, he's paralyzed. He can't do that anymore. So my husband and I decided that day we were going to give him a call, and we're going to go and dig up his garden, you know, and help him, his pots, you know. We went and got the stuff, and boy, that it made me feel so good. I could do something for somebody else. And this man and his wife were so happy that we did that for him. And, of course, his children were going to help him put the plants in, the vegetable garden. I mean, he's had a lot of physical therapy. He can do more than he could ever do before, but he still depends on other people for help. So, again, you know, that day was changed for me, and it made me feel good. So it didn't go the way I wanted to go. So what? I just let it go and let it be. This was God's will for us to do that morning. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Vasa. Oh, Sally A., you're next.
Thanks, Melanie. Good morning, A Vision for You. It's Sally A. in South Jersey, a recovered compulsive overeater. And so here we are on page 86, and this page, it seems that they're trying to teach us a new way of living right here in step 11. And we see on this page, you know, we had in the last paragraph when we retire at night, and now we see on awakening. And we also see on this page three times the words, we ask God. We see it toward the end of that first paragraph, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire. We're asking God, we're inquiring about corrective measures. And then again here in this paragraph, we ask God to direct our thinking. And then at the bottom of the page, four lines up, we ask God for inspiration. So they're teaching us to ask God. They're asking us to now put into our daily life, our daily living, a prayer. And it's not just in the morning, and it's not just at bedtime. It's throughout our day. Even in the next page, we're going to see those words, we ask God, three or four more times, because they're teaching us to make prayer be a part of our life. And the thing that's interesting to me is that in the past, my day, I was constantly thinking, what will I eat next? You know, what do I got in my house? Where can I go and get this? Should I go and get that? That's what my day was like. A day in the life, that's what I'm looking at here. And in the past, you know, for many, many years in OA, I heard this term, if we fail to plan, we plan to fail. And I was always a very poor planner. But here in this paragraph, on awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. Gee whiz, I was always thinking about the 24 months ahead, the 24 days ahead, the 24 hours ahead. I was never thinking about the 24 hours. I was not thinking one day at a time. And that's what we're seeing here. We're seeing the principle of ODAT, one day at a time, living in the one day. You know, for many years I've been a Christian, and I have always, you know, prayed, but I understood that my God was not the God I was. My God was not the God I will be. My God is the God I am. And that's a present God I am. He is the God in my day today, not the God for 2 months from now or 24 years from now. But that's what we're being told here. On awakening, let us think only about the 24 hours ahead. We're going to stay in today. We're going to consider our plans for the day. Wow, I'm going to actually have a plan? And before we begin, before we even begin to set up a plan, we're going to ask God to direct our thinking. Thanks for letting me share with that. I pass.
Good morning, Sally. I'm so sorry. Why did I say good morning? Thank you is what I meant to say. Thank you, Sally. No, no, I also would like to comment on this paragraph.
Lois.
Looks like we have room for two people. Hi, Lois.
Leah.
I got you. Anybody else? And Leah. Let's wrap it up that way. Thanks so
you.
Much. Lois? Sue, I think we're going to run out of time, but maybe you could stick around and share with us the second hour, which is coming right up. Thanks. Thanks, Sue.
Hi.
Lois?
Thank you.
Thanks. Hi, Lois. Good morning to you.
Hi. Good morning, Melanie. Thank you for your service. This is Lois M., recovered compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. Very grateful to be here and, you know, very happy to be hearing all the shares this morning. And this chapter or these paragraphs that we've been discussing yesterday and today, you know, are just so meaningful that, you know, for me, this is the 11th step we're talking about today. And I have gone through the steps through 1 through 11 in the past maybe 3 years. And I have a physical allergy with a mental obsession, and in order for me to recover, I needed a spiritual recovery, and that's what I got. They told me that's what I would get if I were working these steps in my life, and I did receive that, and you know, it's been the most meaningful event in my life, and it's an ongoing, for me, it's an ongoing lesson, which I practice every day of my life. But I also wanted to say that for me, it's been a program of progress. You know, it's like when I first started, I would say, you know, upon awakening, I offer you my life. But I used to say it as if I were saying the salute to the flag. You know, I would say it in my mind and in my head, and I meant it. But that's where I was. And through working these steps and receiving some of the gifts and the promises and the deepening of spiritual recovery, you know, it's given me, you know, such an important, most valuable gift in my life, to belong to, you know, a power greater than myself, to believe that, you know, my higher power is there looking out for me and for you, and that he will guide me, that I don't ever have to be alone. And that means, you know, with my God and also with my fellow travelers. And that is the most precious gift I could ever have gotten. And I wish and I hope that for all of you, you newcomers especially. And with that heart full of gratitude, I'm going to close. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lois M. And Leah M., would you finish out with us today, please?
Thank you so much, Melanie. Good morning, everybody. It's Leah M., recovered compulsive overeater. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, just focusing in on that direction. You know, these directions that the Big Book offer me give me an opportunity to turn the light up, you know, before my feet even hit the floor in the morning. Because prior to the program of recovery, prior to these directions, I was the biggest obstacle to a better world. Because why? Because I was directed by my selfishness, by my self-centeredness, which really, you know, I attached to my feelings. How am I feeling? How do I feel like I want to behave today? How do I feel like I want to interact with my husband? You know, the emotions are what guided me and directed me. And here, you know, the program of recovery gives me something more elevated to direct my thinking. I'm not any longer governed or dominated by my feelings, my emotions, the self-centeredness, because feelings and emotions are a trap in the spiritual life. They're a trap in the spiritual life. If I felt angry, I would just act angry. Well, anger to a marriage is like what the iceberg was to the Titanic. So what this paragraph helps me to remind me is to take my thinking to a different level, to a higher level, because it's my thinking that was disturbing me most of the time. It was on autopilot before this program of recovery. If you're a typical human being like me, when you wake up with the same worries and concerns every morning. You know, the alarm goes off and start worrying about, you know, money or my marriage or, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow. And the negativity starts, and all day long I'm trying to accomplish things, but I've got this dark cloud of doom hanging over me because my thinking is down in the gutter. You know, this is down at the basic level of thinking. What these directions directions do for me is give me a break from that type of thinking. Prayer meditation, this prayer that I'm offering God to direct my thinking, it's a technique that gives me a break from the thoughts that used to dominate my mind. And the whole point is my mind here, because my whole reality only exists in my mind. If my mind constantly tells me to worry or constantly tells me to fix other people and other things, then that's what's going to drive me. But what if my mind can be more elevated? What if my major concern is seeking to know and do God's will for me, a higher power's will for me? Then my whole behavior is more elevated. My thinking is more elevated. My behavior is more elevated. And basically, you know, what I believe is going to be revealed in what my feet are doing. So, you know, right before my feet hit the floor in the morning, isn't it a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to get my thinking in alignment with some power greater than me? And, you know, the bottom line is this stuff works. This stuff works. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Leah. And that does take us to the close of our meeting. Thank you to everyone who shared today. And with our closing, we will close with the page 164, our book is meant to be suggestive only. Deborah S., would you take us out with a closing this morning? Deborah S., would you press star 1? How about Janice M.? Would you be willing to do that for us?
I'm here. I'm sorry. Hello. I'm here. I'm here.
Oh,
it's
you
Deborah. Okay. Here I am. I'm sorry. I was trying to unmute. Okay. Here I am. Deborah S. from New Jersey, recovered. Thank you, God. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you have in God. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.